Well, hi everybody. It's so good to see you. We've missed you so much. We just realized how much when we got to see you again, how nice it is. Thank you so much for making us so welcome. It's great to be back with you guys. We had an amazing time. We really did. First, some news. How many of you remember Dylan? The guy who's on the poster when you walk in, who says, "Welcome to Kingdom Faith London." Well, we saw him in Sydney, and he sends his love to you. And Dylan's getting married in June to a lovely girlfriend, an American girl. And he lives in New York now. He's part of the Hillsong plant into New York. And he's still with United Band, so he travels a lot. So he may come here sometime in London again. It would be really good to see him. But it was so good to catch up with Dyl. And we use his poster because he's a good-looking guy. So that's nice. But it was really good. Sarah and Joe send their love to you guys as well. And thank you so much for your love that you sent to them. They're going on well. They're doing well. They really are thriving in Australia, and they're doing fine. So we're happy with that as well. We had a really amazing time. We just really chilled out, switched off, and stopped trying to. Every day we looked at our watches and said, what are they doing right now? Who are the prayer meetings on? We better pray. And this lasted for about 2 weeks. Then we said, oh, no, let them get on with it. We'll just have a holiday. And that was what we were meant to do. So we were so glad, and we were so grateful for what God has done here amongst you guys, because I mean, it's so fantastic. You're just going on faster and more brilliantly than before. And that makes our hearts so glad. We just love that, because we didn't want to ever build anything but that. We wanted to build into people's lives who can walk with this thing, whether we're here or not. And that is so good for us. And we are really grateful to you guys. And we love the worship again today. Being back with you guys and worshiping with you is special. And thank you. Thank you for all of that. I want to do something really interesting, what I think is interesting tonight. And Lord, I can't do this without you, and I ask you, Holy Ghost, it's not about my clever words, it's about you. And if you don't want me to say one thing, stop me saying it. And if you want me to say things that aren't even here, then put them in, Lord. I want totally to be led by you. I want to be under your authority tonight. I don't want to do anything that's coming out of my heart, my dreams. I want to flow with you totally. And I know that none of us can change unless you change us. None of us can move one step further forwards unless you come and do that. And so we ask you to do that in us. We ask you to come and move us to where you want us tonight. You've got a plan, and we want to be part of your plan, not our plan. This is your church. We belong to it, and we belong to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So all the time that I was in Oz, the Lord was just speaking to me all the time. And every day there was stuff that he was saying to me. And I initially thought, is this just me? Why is this repeating in me? And there was this one word that echoed in my heart over and over. Who will stand in the gap for me? Who will go for me? And I believe that God, like always, is looking for a man or a woman or a people in this nation, in this city, in this world, who will go into the place of standing in the place where God can direct them. God showed me that we are the touch point of heaven on the earth. And God is looking to move us as a people into a place where his manifestation here begins to have a far greater impact than we've even begun to imagine, because of that position that he's got us in. And so what I'm going to just tell you is all these words that the Lord's been giving me, and it speaks of us, and it tells us tells of where we're going and what God is doing. But increasingly, I began to sense that God is about to move us into a new place completely. I believe we've come to a place of fulfillment. We've come to a place of commitment, of completion in one level. There's a coming, a new authority, a spiritual authority. It's as if God is giving us another piece of territory, which is to become an enlarged spiritual footprint in this city and in this nation. And God is taking us into that place where we're about to enter into that, and we're going to enter into new things, and we're going to see new things happen, and we're going to encounter encounter things we never dreamt we would encounter in our lifetime. And it's not because of us and because we are amazing people. It's because He is amazing. And what He's looking for are people who are totally committed to Him, to for Him to use in whatever way He wants. And this is why God is going to move us into this place where we're going to take ground that we've never thought that we would have taken. There's something that you've been contending for in worship, in prayer, in relationship, in living holy lives that is beginning to mount up and produce through your lives something extraordinary in this nation and in this city. And this is coming together as a culmination of many things that God is bringing us together into. And the Lord spoke a word on Wednesday night when we met with some of you to pray at our house. And the Lord spoke a word in the midst of the prayer through Johnny. And I asked him to put it on the Kingdom Faith London Facebook page. But would you mind just kind of repeating it if you can? Sorry, I'm springing this on you. But I really believe it was so significant. So just let Johnny tell us.
Yeah, so at the prayer meeting on Wednesday, We'd just been spending time in His presence, and it was almost coming to a close, and the Holy Spirit just downloaded. And what He said was, some of what Les has just shared, that we are entering a new age, was the word He gave me, a new age. Not just a new season, but a new age as a church, as a body here at Kingdom of Faith, and that is to be an age of fulfilled promises and dreams and visions. That this church has had many things in seed form given to it in the form of prophecies and dreams we've carried and visions we've carried. But the age we're entering into is the fulfillment of those things. That's the age He wants to take us into. But what the Holy Spirit showed me really clearly on Wednesday night was that before that can happen, some stuff needs to be dealt with. And we have to draw a line in the sand and say, we cannot take this with us into that new age. If we're going to take new territory and go to a new place, then stuff has to be finished. Stuff has to be dealt with. And I think that will be in our personal lives. It'll be to do with discipline. It'll be to do with lifestyle. It'll be to do with a whole load of things. But God is going to give us a grace in this moment, I believe, to finish things now. And stuff we've carried with and had to fight for and struggle with for years is just going to be dealt with and finished and in the past. You know, we can sometimes think we're free to a certain extent of having to fight through stuff, but it's going to be like the fight is in the past as well. If that makes sense, that it's finished, it's done. And then off the back of that finishing, we move into the new age. So that's what I sensed.
Thank you, Johnny. Bless you, man. That was so amazing to hear that word when against what God had been saying to us in Australia. And we just said, oh, my word, this is you. And this is so good that we're part of this. And the Lord's showing us that there is a window that we're in now. There's a season that is opened up to us. And it's a window for us to leave the old territory and enter into the new territory. And it's a window which is opening to us now as a church. And you are able to step through that place. But we cannot bring the old into the new. We have to deal with it, close it off, finish it, and move on. And the grace is here now to deal with it. The grace is here now to shut down the issues and move forward into the new. And so this is where God has got us ready for us to go into now. Everything that has been sown in contending through prayer and worship is about to yield a new harvest in our lives as a church and as individuals. We're entering a season of higher calling, the Lord said to me, a season where He's calling you to come up higher, come up to places that you've never been before. He has seen we are ready to take a greater piece of spiritual territory, and the greater things will be achieved in this place more rapidly than you've ever seen them achieved before. And stuff you've had to pray for and contend for will suddenly start to happen. Suddenly things will start to break loose. Suddenly you'll see things happen that you didn't believe you were going to see. He keeps reminding us that we cannot settle, no matter how attractive that may be, to put on roots and to establish ourselves and spread out and say we've come to stay. He says you're never going to be people who've come to stay. You're always going to be people who are moving on. You have to be people with a mandate to pioneer, a mandate to break open, a mandate to expand the territory, a mandate to walk in new things and new ways, because that is your calling. We are also, the Lord said to me often, we are called, not called to be like other churches. And the Lord warned me, don't look at the success of other churches and to envy that success and then try to emulate that to try and be that. But the Lord says, celebrate the unique callings of those churches, but you have a specific mandate you have to walk in and you have to fulfill. And you can't be doing that when you've got your eyes on what other people are doing and saying, well, that sounds more exciting than what we're doing at the moment. The Lord says we must not be distracted and we must not be discouraged by obstacles that seem to get in our way at this time. It's a time when you've really got to hold fast to what you believe and where you believe we're going. In this place of higher calling, there will come more buffeting by the wind. Just as taller trees catch more of the wind, there will come a higher degree of buffeting than you've probably known in the past. But the Lord says, what I've been doing is making you people who can stand and endure in the place of higher calling. I've made you a people who will be able to contend and take the wind because of what I built into your foundations that you will be able to live with. In this place, we must guard our hearts like never before. And we must refuse to allow offense to distract us in any way, because the enemy will use offense to bring about distraction, to bring about discouragement. But stay in the place where you refuse to allow offense to dominate, and be quick to forgive, be quick to release, be quick to set free, and do not talk, do not speak about each other in any kind of negative way, because your words are powerful. In the tongue is the power of death and life and death, and we cannot speak life over anybody or any situation here. For what we speak, we will be self-prophesying some of the stuff of our own lives if we're not taking care. It will be increasingly hard for us to continue to tolerate sin in our own situations, our own lives. And I believe that's part of why we have to cut off, deal with before we move forward. And you will deal quickly with sin when it comes into your life in the way that we're going into in the future. It's through contending that we have learned to hold this ground. It's not because of anything that we are naturally good at. An army is trained by being pushed into adverse circumstances to harden the troops so that in the time of battle they don't faint. And the Lord says, I'm teaching you to go beyond what you think you can do. I'm teaching you to go into places you didn't think you had the capacity for. I'm teaching you to go without. I'm teaching you to go with. I'm teaching you to have and to not have. I'm teaching you to be people who are not dependent on the normal comfort levels that the world demands and says is normal. But I'm teaching you to become people who can go outside of that and still live. The Lord will teach us through increased times of prayer, intercession, and fasting that we can live without food, that we can live in supernatural territories, because God is going to become our sufficiency in this new place. Hallelujah. At times, everything in us will begin to shout, enough, I want out of here. And then we will discover we got past that place. We'll look back amazed that we got through it. And say, how did this happen? I didn't even believe this was going to be possible in my lifetime. And God says, you will be astounded as what I'm going to do in this new season. I will take you past places that you never thought you could get past. And you will only look back and say, that was impossible. The Lord is encouraging us to press in now like never before, because the prize we have longed for is close. It is so close. Now, like never before, is the season to push in. Now, I want to caution you about trying to think specifically about this. I'm talking of spiritual territory. I'm talking about spiritual breakthrough. And so, don't try and interpret what I'm saying into specific activity. Our conviction will lead us to a greater determination that will enable us to push on and take the prize of our calling. We will refuse to be disqualified by anything. And the Lord is setting us up to become people who refuse disqualification, who refuse the enemy trying to say, you can't. We will begin to say, we are the people who can. We're the people who are called to take the ground that God has got for us to take, because God gives us the favor and the success. In this higher call, there's greater help from heaven. We must begin to expect to co-labor with heavenly powers who have been assigned to help us. We are not alone in this struggle. God has assigned spiritual powers from heaven who will come alongside and will encourage and will walk with and will begin to release power in your life and around your circumstances. And the Lord says, begin to expect to see heaven co-laboring with you on the earth in what you're doing. We must guard our hearts from pride that will disqualify us from our quest. Like never before, we must be humble and refuse to think we have achieved anything by ourselves for that very same reason. Beware and refuse to fall into the trap of Asa. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, I'll read this to you very briefly. At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were not the Cushites and the Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war." Asa was angry with the seer because of this. He was so enraged that he put him in prison. You see, God wants us to rely completely on him. And that's a massive relief. It's not you going to be amazing. It's he's going to be amazing in your life. We are here to serve the living God on the earth. We are here to serve Jesus in terms of what he wants us to do here. I'm serving him to you, if you can understand what I'm saying here. That I serve the living God, but I serve you. And I serve the living God in the same way. And it's the what I do for you, I'm doing for him. I do this for him. I contend for you, for him. We stand with you for him. Because he has purposed great things for your lives. And we want to stand with you for him. So it always works that way, and so it works that way in your own life. When you're leading worship, you're doing this for him. You're not doing it for us. You're not doing it for you. You're doing it for him. And if we keep that tension in the right perspective, we will be able to go forward, and we will be able to take alongside us everything that he has purposed for us in this time. Our complete dependence on the Lord must drive us to our knees now like never before. The Lord just said to me, it's arrogance not to pray. It's like never before have we got to begin to see. The Lord said to me, I'm not talking about when you have a quiet time every morning and you read your Bible and you spend an hour or whatever it is in praying. The Lord says it's time to move beyond that into a place of extravagant intercession, a place of outpouring of your heart before God in such a way that you begin to touch heaven. And heaven begins to respond to you in a different way. And you will begin to change circumstances on the earth just because you prayed. The Lord showed me that there is not one significant move that has ever taken place on this earth of the kingdom of God that has not been birthed out of prayer. There isn't one. There is no such thing. Prayer is costly because prayer says, I give up trying to do this myself. And I get before God and I let God do it through me instead. And it's almost like becoming a vessel and saying to God, I make myself available to you. Use me to achieve what you want on the earth. Just use my life. Let my life begin to work. Let my life begin to release what you want to release from heaven on the earth. Let my life become truly the touch point of heaven on the earth. Because from your life, you will begin to reap a massive harvest. Now God is saying and asking us, who will go, who will stand in the gap? It's a fascinating statement. We must now up the level of prayer. And we must now move into the place of genuine contending like never before. Because it's so close. There is something that is breaking out here. If you've got a sense in your spirit, you will feel it. There is something moving. And you might look around and say, who, us? And the Lord says, yes, you. This is your season. It is your time. And God is taking us into a place where he is going to be doing these deeper things within and through you. The Lord is saying, who will go? But we must, as what I believe the Lord has also said to us, prayer groups must start. And the Lord doesn't want me to organize prayer groups. He wants to birth a passion and a desire in our hearts to pray that we'll begin to say, I have got to pray and I've got to find somebody who'll pray with me, or I'll pray on my own, but I've got to begin to pull together with other people, because I need to create a place where I establish altars in my own home. And in my own home, it becomes a place of worship and a place of prayer and a place where heaven begins to work into the earth, and I begin to affect my whole community in that area. Hallelujah. The Lord said to me over and over, homes are going to become a key meeting point in this time. Your home is going to become a key meeting point. And get your mind out of the gear of thinking we need a big hall with smoke machine and fancy lights. You need your home to be turned into a place of worship and a place of prayer. It is the place where the kingdom is going to be manifesting like never before. Just because you live there, you'll begin to affect your whole neighborhood around you. Oh, wow, wow, wow. It was said that prayer gave rise to the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, which gave rise to a devotion to prayer. And it's through prayer that we will see another great awakening that will come on this earth. For if you've read history of some of the great revivals that we know about in this land, we know that they were all birthed out of extraordinary times of prayer. They were not birthed out of whoopee times in the presence of God with people prancing about. There was a breaking of hearts. There was a coming to a place of new holiness, coming to a place of clean hands and clean hearts. Those are the ones that begin to ascend the hill of the Lord and begin to touch His holy mountain and begin to release from heaven on the earth what God is looking to do in this nation. And guys, the encouraging thing is we can't change this nation. That is massively encouraging to me, but God can. I can't change you. I can't change myself. I can't change anybody out there. When I see them all celebrating Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, I can't change that. I can speak against it and it'll change nothing. But God, working through me, will begin to change this land. House by house. Hallelujah. It's not the type of prayer we have in our daily lives. It's something new that God is calling us to. God is saying that I'm going to birth apostles of prayer from here. There will be people who will travel to countries and start other prophetic and apostolic centers of prayer and worship. And there'll be people going out from this place into other parts of this nation and then across the channel down into Europe and to other nations. There will be people who will go from here because they will carry fire. You'll be a carrier of fire. And the whole purpose of this fire is that it will affect many nations that will come out of this nation. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read you one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I'm going to read you from Matthew 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe has been laid to the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." His clothes and diet were unusual. His message was not friendly. He didn't compromise on what had to be said. Yet they streamed out of the city to come and be baptized by this man. Even the people who didn't like what he was doing came to him. You see, he never had a website. He never had a Facebook page. He never handed out leaflets. He never could add in a local paper. But people streamed to where he was. What I'm saying to you guys is when it's authentic, the Lord says, you won't have to promote it because heaven will promote it. You won't have to take an ad or spend a penny on it because God will do it. But what God looks for are the touch points of heaven on the earth that he can begin to set on fire. And as we burn for him, heaven will begin to be released on the earth amongst us. And people will be drawn to that. John claimed, and this is the key thing, he claimed he was merely a signpost. It wasn't about his ministry. And the Lord says it's time for ministries to die if they're our aspiration point. And it's time for the kingdom of God to live. It's no longer a season of saying, what will my ministry be? It's a season of saying, I have come to be a sign who points to Jesus. When people meet me and meet my life, they see a sign pointing to Jesus. Because the Lord is looking for people now who will prepare the way for the next coming of the living God onto the earth. And the Lord is looking for people who will begin to make way, make straight the ways that the Lord will come amongst us once again on this earth in a new and cataclysmic gathering. And I don't know, it could be in 100 years' time, but certainly we need to be part of the preparation. Throughout the ages, God has looked for people who will point the way. The Bible is full of extraordinary people. Not many of them were specially gifted, specially amazing. They just were available. They just were willing to be used as a sign. They were willing. And God used those people and they got put in his book. And God is looking now for people who are willing to be signposts. When people meet your life, they meet a pointing to Jesus. They meet a sign point to Jesus. No longer my ministry, how amazing I am or I am not. I'm pointing to Jesus. And when you meet me, you're seeing Jesus. Because I've been in the fire. I've been in the furnace. I've been with the fourth man in the fire like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And I've been in that fire. And in that place, God has burnt up the desire for my own fulfillment, my own life, my own significance, which is birthed out of whatever the path is that you've walked to get to this place today. But when that is burned up, then you're like gold that has been refined in the furnace. And in that gold is reflected the face of Jesus. And that is the gold that the world is desperately looking for. That is the reality that God is wanting to reveal to this nation and the nations of the world right now in this season. Do you know Dot told me something extraordinary today? Was it? Yes, she told me today about North Korea. How many Christians are in harsh labor camps? 60,000? Extraordinary. I didn't even know there were that many Christians in North Korea. I give thanks for those people. They've chosen to be a sign and they got thrown in a harsh labor camp for their decision. And they are there revealing the kingdom of God. And the leader of that nation can say whatever he likes, but God is in the nation. And those people who have given their lives, there have been so many martyrs in North Korea. Say one, you probably know better than I do how many over the history of the region. And the blood of the martyrs cries out. And God will fulfill his purpose in that part of the world. It is now Korea, South Korea has become the greatest mission-sending nation in the world. It's extraordinary. What has that been built out of? You go to Korea, you go to Seoul. At 5 o'clock in the morning, you'll see people streaming to churches to pray. You go to a place called Prayer Mountain, you'll see people going there to spend their annual holiday fasting and praying. And out of that, God is birthing a move around the world that comes out of that. I was in a little backwater in Kenya, and I bumped into a Korean pastor who had come to plant a church right there in the absolute most remote bush area. And he'd already built a building and he'd already got a church going. And he came from South Korea. What does he know about Africa? And it doesn't matter. He's a sign point that points to Jesus. And when you talk to this guy, it was like talking to Jesus. It was like talking to another a Korean man. Guys, God is looking for people who are willing to get beyond themselves, who are willing to get beyond their own need for significance and their own need to matter, and they were prepared to become those who reveal Jesus only in their lives. Thank you, Jesus. John spoke of one who would come after him, and he would baptize us in the Holy Spirit and with fire. I believe we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I believe we're desperately needing the fire of God. We need the fire. We need to ask Jesus for the fire, because it's the fire we need. We need the fire now like never before. We need the fire that burns up all the stuff that's been in our lives and demands our attention. And we need the fire that will be not just that I will have a little manifestation in a meeting, but fire that will change my life and reveal, make me come forth as pure gold on this earth. That God will use me from that moment on to change this world. It's time for the fire that burns so brightly. The fire is not about signs and wonders, but about a singleness of heart. It's a fire that burns up the self part of our lives and brings us forth like pure gold that reflects the face of Jesus Christ. It's the fire that will make us fearless in the face of opposition. We won't crave the approval of men because we walk in our higher approval. We won't operate according to the world's standards, but we will live lives seeing supernatural power and provision. We will love the Lord like never before and not be able to stand anything that opposes Him. Fear will not be our master. We will do great exploits for God. Many will get saved and want to join us and be part of what God has made us to be. There will be no striving, for we will be people of faith that have been proved in the furnace. Inevitably, a polarization will occur in the church, and there will be people who will criticize you for what you are and not understand. The Lord says, love, love, love. People will be drawn to us, asking, what must they do to be saved? The Lord says, you will be restorers of streets with broken walls. God will use you to restore whole communities within nations if you want it. It's a noble calling. It's an amazing calling. Places of desolation will seem to be like deserts that suddenly will abound as green places filled with the life of God, because the Spirit of God is there. Understand one thing. I'm not saying it. We don't want to see ministries on the earth. Ministries are biblical to have, but we don't live for our ministry. We live for Jesus. The ministry exists for Jesus. So yes, we'll have the apostles, prophets, all those ministries must exist, but that won't be the focus of our lives. The least of you will see great power and miracles take place in your life as a normal episode. These are the people. These will be those who will triumph over the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And those who do not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. These are the people in the end time who will change nations, change people's lives individually and live in the place of God's supernatural provision. You will see great lack, and you will not be in any way thrown by it, but because you know from where you make your draw, and you know God has sufficient to meet the need in that situation, if you would choose to believe Him. So that was rather a sort of strange way to spend a holiday. But I believe it's so exciting. I believe we've come to a place of completeness, of one level, of one stage. And it's time to move to the next level now, the next stage. I believe the key is the fire of God. Jesus came to baptize in the Holy Ghost and in fire. A It's time for the fire. It's time for the fire. I believe we've got to crave the fire. We've got to literally desperately want the fire of God. And I believe Jesus simply will give to those who ask. Jesus, I need your fire. Now, like never before, I need your fire. Because I know what your fire is going to do. Lord, I know with all my heart that nothing can change me. And nothing can change any of these people in this room. I know that, Lord. I know without a shadow of a doubt that we can't change anybody. But I know the one encounter with the fire of heaven and we will be completely changed. And the cry of my heart is take us on a journey now where we begin to trek into a new dimension altogether. I ask you to prepare us as a people to step into the new realm that you prepared for us. And I ask you to find it. Move our hearts to want what you want. Move our hearts to desire what you desire. I ask you to give us an eternal perspective in our own lives. That we won't look just at my life and here I am now, but we will look at the eternal consequences of what we're doing. And we will understand the bigger picture. We won't live as those who live by the little picture. We will understand and we will see our place in history as being those who took part in the bigger picture and those who brought about the great changes in this world. I believe you did not call one of us to live ordinary lives, but you called us to be those who will be extraordinary people. Not one of us are called to be ordinary. And I ask tonight that in this room and in the hearing of my voice, you will so quicken our hearts to say, God, I've got to be extraordinary. It's time. It's time, Lord. It's time now. We need a Fetter Lane experience here where John Wesley's heart was strangely warmed and a great move of God came about. And a man got up and preached and 1,800 people fell to the ground as though dead under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. All you're looking for are signs willing to become the touch point of heaven on the earth. This is our call. This is our unique place in the history of the world. This is our unique season, our time. This is what we live for. How incredibly privileged we are. Wow, Jesus. So, Lord, here we stand. Here we are. We're willing to do whatever you say. We're willing to go wherever you say. We're willing to follow you, not me, not any man's urging, but you. We're willing, Lord. And I ask you to take us now into that new place. I ask you to begin the transition period. Take us through into the new place where our footprint increases in this nation. I ask you to do that, Jesus. I ask you to give us greater influence than we've ever had. In the arts, in music, in literature, in finance, in medicine, in every facet of this nation, I ask you to make us those who have great influence now like never before. Make us those who leave a mark on this world because we lived in it. I ask you for great accountants, great architects, great actors, great musicians, great singers, great authors, great journalists, Lord. I ask you for great accountants, great bankers. I ask you for people with extraordinary capability, great engineers in this place. I ask you for governors. I ask you for administrators. I ask you for people who will become gifted in administration, gifted in governing. Gifted in leading, gifted in being strategists. I ask you to give us people who will have a depth of understanding and wisdom as pastors. I ask you to awaken the prophets amongst us like never before. I ask you to stir the prophetic anointing that I know exists in this place. I ask you to shake us and begin to release the word of the Lord on this earth. I ask you for teachers, extraordinary teachers, who will quickly download and impart truth to many, many people. Now, Jesus, like never before, we ask you to take what we've got to offer you, which is just our lives. And we ask you to raise up people here for yourself. Raise them up. Make them great in your kingdom. Make them people who will leave a mark in this world because they lived in it. I thank you, Jesus, so much. I thank you for your greater plan. I pray, Father, that you will raise up amongst us those who will have the unique ability to disciple people who come out of extraordinarily broken backgrounds, and they will have the compassion and the mercy and the wisdom and the authority to lead them through into a place of deliverance, a place of victory, a place of understanding, and a place of wholeness in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, like never before, now, Lord, we stand on this place. We stand on the brink of a new day, a new season, a new time, and a new place. And I ask you to take what we have to offer, which is not a great deal, but in your hands, it's awesome. Even Jonah accomplished something amazing reluctantly. Take us now, Lord. But above all else, I ask you to birth a depth of love for you like we've never known before. I ask you to birth in us a depth of love which is all-consuming, where everything we do comes out of that place of love. I ask you to birth amongst us such a great love for one another. I ask you to birth amongst us a great love for the lost people of this world. I ask you to birth amongst us faith to believe for those people. I ask you to birth it. I ask you because you can, because you want to. I ask you, Jesus. For my heart, I ask you now because this is the season.
God would say that this is the season. This is not the season for running alone, Les. This time there are men that will run with you and will hold your arms up. Your words will not fall to the ground, but what you're speaking will be run out by those who partner with you.
In those days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to that mountain. To the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, from God's holy mountain, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. In those days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established. Lord God, won't you establish your mountain in us, your mountain here. Won't you establish a place of your presence here? We position ourselves at your feet, Lord God, and we say, have your way in this place. Have your way in this house. We want to establish something that will last, not a fad, not a trend, not another great-looking church, Lord God. We want the mountain of your presence to be established in this place. That the nations might see your presence, your mountain, and come streaming to it, Lord God. Lord God, establish something in our hearts tonight that will never be shaken. Establish in each one of us right now in this time a mountain of your presence. I believe this is a holy moment right now.
We have nothing else to give you. Amen. We bring our lives and we lay them down before you. We throw ourselves upon the altar. We ask that your fire will consume us. As we throw our lives down before you, we ask, consume us. We ask you, please, burn us, burn within us. Bring us forth as gold, Jesus. That we will shine for you like never before. Your light will be so revealed within us that we will become light here in London. Jesus, we want you to take whatever we give you now. And I ask you, brothers and sisters, if you can give your life to him now, just do it afresh. You might want to kneel, you might want to stand if you're kneeling. But do something to say, I'm giving you what I've got. It's all you ever wanted from me, and I give it to you. Here is my life. Do with it what you want. I place myself upon the altar of your fire, Jesus. Here we are, Lord. Here we are. Take what we offer you. Father, let this be a pleasing sacrifice to you. Father. The Lord showing me that there are transactions taking place right now. Transactions between us and him. And what the little we're doing is noted in heaven. It's recorded in books up there. It's recorded, it's noted, it's known. Your name is there. This date is written. It's sealed. And forever this day will mark the start of a whole new walk. This day will mark new beginnings, leaving of the old, entering into this new place. New weapons are being passed out. New gifts are being released. Assignments are being measured out to us. Destinies are being finalized. I see an army holding up swords. Many, many swords held up. Many swords. Swords which have great power, great authority, the word of God in you. And it's just this, he wants to build something out of here. And it's like a building. When it's built, many people come into the building and they get the facility, the comfort of the building, the use of the building, the security of the building. But what the Lord is saying is he wants to build, and I have no word for it except he shows me a picture. It looks like it looks for all the world like a gymnastic pyramid. Just people on top of people standing on each other's shoulders forming this magnificent thing. And it's like... It's like a place of arts and creativity and music and writing. And it's in the city where it's so appropriate because of where we're located. And it's in this nation where such creativity has been birthed. And the Lord wants to birth this thing. I don't know what it's called, but it's a place which produces, and from it produces music and writing and production and all of it is drawing people closer to Jesus. All of it is revealing the kingdom in many facets, in the way that this nation is able to receive it and understand it.